Welcome to WellPass Hope and Healing Podcast, a unique and new way that we stay connected with the field to talk about patients, people, and our partners.
And welcome to WellPass Hope and Healing Podcast. This is your host, Justin Searle. I'm back for a holiday 2021 podcast. What we're doing here is trying to help us all stay informed about what's going on in the business, what's happening nationally and locally, and what we're doing to continuously improve how we care for our patients and our people, ultimately how all of that impacts you. I'm aiming to keep these brief, relevant, and address the areas that are important to you. Please share what's important to you by sending your thoughts to lgwestinfo@wellpath.us. That's lgwestinfo@wellpath.us. A big thank you to those of you that have submitted feedback and thoughts in the past. We've received some great suggestions for themes we should cover, some positive feedback about the episodes we've done and what we're trying to do here, and then also some constructive notes about how we can make this more relevant. All of that feedback helps. We've just released an interview with Linda Korfman, who is an HSA in Southern California, in two parts, and I committed to answering some of the questions that she raised about what WellPath is doing to help attract and retain excellent caregivers in this pandemic and staffing crisis. And so I'm here today to try to do that. We aim, as always, to link these conversations to one or more of our five P's. If you need a reminder, that's patients, people, partners, process, and performance. Patients and people are the two that we're going to touch upon most heavily today. I'll continue to plug the request for feedback, send emails with kudos, questions, comments, concerns to lgwestinfo@wellpath.us. What I'd like to do first is provide a brief overview of what we see as the major challenges that we're facing today, and then go into how I think we got here, and then finally laying out the plan for what we're doing to address the opportunities that we have. I'm going to start by stating what I believe to be the challenges. I think we all know these, but it's also important to verbalize them. We're facing a once-in-a-generation staffing crisis that's made it very difficult to attract and retain our people. Burnout is real. People are leaving the workforce at record rates, and there are literally more open jobs in America than people that are unemployed. And that's defined as people that are looking for work and not finding it. What we're seeing is compensation imbalance everywhere, particularly in healthcare, meaning hospitals and travel agencies are paying unheard of wages to hire nurses and other healthcare workers. And for our mental health professionals, demand in the community is higher than it's ever been. And people are able to do a lot of this work from home behind a computer screen. I do not want to miss an opportunity to say that this is not just a WellPath or correctional healthcare or even a healthcare thing. Look at airlines, retail, food, beverage, hospitality, the global supply chains. This challenge is everywhere. As I pivot to talk about what I think is driving this, I am going to take more of a healthcare perspective. So the CARES Act was passed. Now, this is legislation for $2.2 trillion, which was designed to help combat the effects of the coronavirus. It has earmarked and sent $180 billion to hospitals and healthcare systems. I feel like these days we're tossing around trillion and billion. And so sometimes it can lose its meaning. What I want to do is repeat that. The CARES Act earmarked and sent $180 billion to hospitals and healthcare systems. Now, what this did was created a world of haves and have-nots. The haves, the healthcare systems, the hospitals are offering crazy bonuses and temporary differentials. And the have-nots have struggled to compete. Our form of healthcare, and by that I mean correctional healthcare, is the only type that's actually constitutionally mandated. And we didn't receive a dime of those dollars. I don't think that's right. I'm sure you agree. That doesn't really matter. We need to figure this out anyways. Our experts at WellPath believe that those dollars are going to run out about midway through 2022. In some pockets, we're hearing already that some of those government and high-paying hospital jobs are already running out of hours to offer. Now, another thing driving all of this is what I'm going to call the CPI disparity. So CPI, Consumer Price Index. is a measure of inflation. I feel like you can't turn on the news or read a newspaper without hearing about inflation and increasing prices. CPI is a tool that we use to determine how much our contracts are going to grow year over year. And that number has remained effectively flat, meaning our partners, in many cases, are barely paying us more today to do the work than they did a year ago. Now, we know that the work definitely costs more today than it did last year. We use the Consumer Price Index for healthcare services. Now, the $180 billion that I talked about earlier that was sent to hospitals, it served to increase wages, but none of those dollars are allowed to be passed along to the consumer, meaning the price for healthcare for most consumers hasn't actually gone up. So in a world where we've seen wages grow at astronomical rates, primarily through temporary differentials or these one-time bonuses, the calculations to increase price for our contracts have remained historically low. So I've been talking about what's going on externally out in the world. What I want to do is change gears and talk about WellPath. For us, about 65% of our total revenue, that means all of the dollars that come into WellPath, it goes to pay for people. That's our labor cost, 65%. I'm going to quickly draw your attention to our environmental, social, and governance report, or ESG for short. If you've not looked at this, I'd encourage you to do so. You can find it at wellpathcare.com/ESG. It's an excellent report where we talk about the efforts that we have underway in our various categories like environmental, social, and governance. In that report, we have a publicly declared commitment by Jorge, which goes like this. Any profits from operating income that exceed 5% of revenue are going to be donated to charities designed to reduce recidivism. I'm going to say that again. Any profits that we make from operating income that exceed 5% of revenue, those are going to be donated to charities designed to reduce recidivism. So think about what that means. It means we don't have outsized profit margins like some of these really big tech or financial companies out there. What's more is we have even a much slimmer profit margin than some of the big hospital companies that you've heard of. One of the reasons for this is that we have to be really good stewards of the financial resources given to us by the counties that we work with to take care of these patients. All of this means that we need to explore ways to be competitive today in a way that's not going to permanently alter our ability to do business in the future. So let me recap what I've talked about here. We have the CARES Act that injected $180 billion of funds into the healthcare system, which only went to hospitals and healthcare systems. That's created a world of haves and have-nots. We've had our CPI, or Consumer Price Index, at historically low calculations. We've been competing against companies that have tremendously big pots of resources and profits. So we need to be strategic and thoughtful about how we're going to approach this crisis. Next, what are we going to do about it? We are rolling out a program where we're going to invest over $20 million in our local government division. We're going to give pay differentials and retention bonuses to our hardest hit areas. Now, we look at hired headcount against the matrix. That's how we define hardest hit. If your headcount is less than 90% of what your matrix requires, you're likely going to be a part of this program. We're also making other assorted investments that are going to serve to help improve our ability to recruit talent. In all of this, I want to state what our compensation philosophy is. We are aiming to keep pay within the top quartile of healthcare employers in the market. And what I mean by that is that if you look at a particular geography, what we're trying to do is stay at or above the 75th percentile for each of the job classifications. That means you look at LPNs in that market, you look at LVNs, you look at RNs, you look at CMAs, CNAs, and our objective is to remain in excess of the 75th percentile, meaning we pay higher than what 75% of the rest of the people in that market are being paid. We're also working with our partners to ensure we can secure the resources we need to be permanently competitive. There's other legislation called ARPA, the American Recovery Plan Act. Now, unlike CARES, this legislation actually does earmark dollars for the work that we do, but it also earmarks dollars for a lot of other causes. And so the local government and county leaders are going to have to decide how they're going to spend that money. We're finding some success in areas, but not in all areas. But that's one avenue. Another avenue for us is via our renewal letters. Each year when we renew the contract, we send a letter to our clients. What we're doing now is asking for more than the CPI calculations so that we can remain competitive to attract and retain our excellent caregivers. We're also utilizing amendments to add positions where necessary and increase wages to remain competitive. And then finally, we're using rebids. And what that means is when a contract expires, a county goes out to RFP, request for proposal, and seeks a lot of proposals to go do the work. What we're doing is we're rebidding these contracts in a manner that right-sizes wages so that we can remain competitive to attract and retain the right caregivers. Now, at the county level, this is always a competitive process as they look at companies like WellPath and other companies to see who's going to do this work. We know it's a competitive process, and we know that price matters to these counties. In this exercise, we may lose some of these contracts, and I believe that it's the general philosophy that that's okay. We want to remain competitive. We want to try to keep these contracts, but not if it means that we can't pay our people the right amount in order to do this work. Let me pivot from dollars and talk about some other things that we're doing to try to help improve what's going on in our sites. We're improving our centralized support systems and structures. We're rolling out a concierge service. So think about problems that you may have with payroll or accounts payable challenges. We don't always know who to call. This concierge service is going to be a one-stop shop. The objective here is to remove the mundane and non-patient care tasks from our plates. With this concierge service, the specific need that you, the HSA, have is going to be written down, memorialized. You're going to be issued a ticket number. So there's going to be accountability in actually fixing the problem. We're also rolling out centralized scheduling. There's a pilot predominantly in the East right now that's been met with lots of success and support. And then finally, we're building out regional travel nursing teams in key metropolitan areas. And so you can think about places like Atlanta or Denver or Sacramento, where there's a concentration of many sites. And if we had travelers that are ready to fly in and help at a moment's notice, this alleviates our need to go secure agency support and has folks that are actually already familiar with WellPath P&P and can plug right in. We're also introducing and leveraging a bunch of technology. WellPath Now. What this does is provide near immediate access to emergency room and licensed providers to evaluate any potential send out issues. Many of you are already using this. It's in service today, and we're expanding it into more sites and more geographies. And it's 24/7 in certain locations, not everywhere, but it will be in the near future. And basically, it's like having an emergency department doc on speed dial to help with issues that may or may not need to be handled offsite. We're also introducing in the next year a new HCM platform. HCM stands for Human Capital Management. That's basically fancy words for just saying a people system. So this new system is going to house all the software needed for people things from hire to retire, and it's going to be much less onerous than jumping around to all the different systems that we use today. It's going to provide one-stop shopping for every member of our team. You'll be able to find out about benefits, your schedule, any sick leave scheduling you need to do, all from your phone. It's going to make it easier to coordinate coverage in real time. There's going to be loads of improvement over our current systems. We're also exploring some new technologies. And so a couple of weeks ago at the leadership conference, our CEO, Jorge Dominici, spoke of some of the companies that he's been engaged with. One's got a product that uses Wi-Fi and can be affixed to a wall remotely that measures respiration and heart rate using infrared light. The other is a technology already being used in England for suicide prevention and uses an algorithm to create a diagnostic tool that we can use in our environments to get better insight into behavior. Now, much of this technology is above me, but if we combine these two things, we might have an opportunity to meaningfully identify potential suicide so we can act and intervene more quickly. We're also looking at different operating models. Can we figure out alternate staffing approaches. So using lower level licenses for certain tasks, are there ways that we can plug in EMTs in lieu of LPNs or RNs where we have trouble staffing those classifications? Or how do we figure out better remote supports that you can have an RN on a tablet helping with intakes in a remote geography? So in summary, we're making a really, really big one-time investment in local government to bridge the gap between where we are today and when we believe normal is going to return to the building, which is expected about midway through 2022. We're engaging our partners to adjust contracts to help us remain competitive from a pay perspective in the market, and we're providing more robust support to our site leaders via centralized support. And finally, we're using technology to make life better so that we can focus on the most important stuff. Some parting thoughts as we wind this down. I do just want to thank you for your tireless efforts and leadership through this crisis to care for and bring hope to these very, very vulnerable patients. Words aren't ever going to do justice for the gratitude that I feel for each and every one of you. What I want to do now is leave you with a quote from Jorge that he used to wrap up our leadership conference a few weeks ago in mid-November. It struck me because I was an AV guy and I appreciated the metaphor, but I think it's going to resonate with all of us. So to quote Jorge, a big organization like ours is like a ship. Some people work on deck, others in the hold, while others man the helm. If we all do our job, the boat will not only float, but it will also sail along its journey under full billowing sail or diesel power. We may be hit by a storm one day. We may have calm seas the next day. But you need to know the cooks are cooking, the crew is busy maintaining the ship, and at the helm, the course that is set will bring us safely to home port. And so if you ask yourself, what can I do today, right now, to do my part? Here it is. Wake up every day ready to stay in the mission that drew you to this job in the first place, to help the underserved, to provide medical and mental health care to people who are incarcerated, overlooked, shunned, and vulnerable. Wake up knowing there are people out there needing us to do this right now, today. That's what we're doing. We're helping people to recover. When doubt creeps in, think about that. Trust that if we each do our part, if we always do the right thing, we will get the right result. Stay with the mission and share this message with your teams. That ends Jorge's quote, and I'm going to wind down with an ask of you. Please reach out to me or your leaders if you have any questions, and please share this message with your teams. As Jorge asked, remember, we often need to message things 7 different times in 7 different ways for it to land. As my leader, Cindy Watson, often says, please continue to repeat the message about our situation and what we're doing to address it. And I hope you've appreciated this series of podcasts. And if you've got feedback, questions, comments, concerns, email us at lgwestinfo@wellpath.us. And until next time, this is Justin signing off to Hope and Healing.
Thank you for listening to WellPath's Hope and Healing podcast. We'll see you next time. Always do the right thing.